Lesson number 6, We Yield to Him. In our lesson last week, we stressed the element of trust in our faith. This week we are to think about submission. The word submission comes from two Latin words, sub, meaning underneath. We get submarine and many other combinations of sub in English. And the word mit comes from mitto, I send. So when I put myself underneath, I am accepting, I am bearing my load, I am supporting. It is in this sense that wives should submit themselves to their husband. This is not being subservient. This is being cooperative, supportive, foundational, underneath the programs and plans that have been set up by the family and that are being led by the father and the husband. Now, God has programs. God has plans. He presents them to us. The whole plan of salvation is one of the divine programs. We are to submit ourselves under God. Now, the idea that Christ had was to take his yoke upon us. That is, we bear the burden. God lays upon us certain responsibilities in a total, overall scheme for our salvation. Our part is to come under the divine program supportively. And in that relationship with God, we are to resist the devil. The force of the verb is one of continual action. There is no let up in this war. There is no alternative to constant vigilance. We are to resist him. Never cooperate, never agree, never give him the time of day, never discuss with him as Eve did. That kind of dallying always destroys. Our relationship to God must be acceptance and supportive of his program, putting our shoulders to the wheel, and our relationship to the devil must be one of resistance. Part number one, we yield ourselves either to God or to Satan. Paul tells the believers in Romans chapter 6, know ye not that he to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. Now, whose servants are we? We can be the servants of sin, of disobedience, unto death. We can be the servants of righteousness, of obedience to God, unto life. And John tells us that whoever commits sin, now here again the force is continual. This is not an isolated act. And as Steps to Christ tells us, it's not the isolated act, either good or bad, that determines our character, but the general tendency of the life. Whosoever continues to sin, it's a tendency, it's a regular activity without any resistance, he is the servant of sin. Now, how can we break away from the taskmaster who has shackled us by evil habits, who has bound us under sin, who have his paycheck ready, for the wages of sin is death? Now, how can we break away? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, Paul tells us. Whom you yield yourselves. Now, this is the choice. We start out as servants of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as soon as we yield, then the Son makes us free. I like to think of this illustration over and over again. To my right stands Christ, to my left stands the devil. In between I am free to choose. I can choose Christ, I can choose Satan. I can yield to Christ, I can yield to Satan. The moment I yield to Satan, I move from the orbit of Christ into the orbit of Satan. While I'm there, the moment I pray, the moment I say, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, Christ can do for me when I pray what he can't do for me when I don't pray. Satan can say, leave him alone. Can't you see Les is on my side? But when I put my will on the side of God, then the Son makes me free. Part number two, ye shall die in your sin. Now, if we believe not, and this again is continuous, it's not a lapse, it's not a slip, it's a definite set of the life. The master we choose gives us wages of sin. But this need not be if we choose another master. We don't have to yield. We don't have to die. The gift of God is eternal life. The moment I start off from the hog pen in the distant land, filling my belly with the husks that the swine did eat, the Father sees me a long way off and comes running to me, to meet me and embrace me. Now what is this death? Death is the end of love, of devotion, of all the higher emotions. It's ceasing to turn to God. We can be dead in our sins, Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. We can be aliens from the commonwealth of God. We can be separated from the life of Christ. We can be strangers to his light and teaching. All the finer susceptibilities and activities will perish if we do not choose Jesus Christ. But the moment we decide to yield to him, as part three stresses, we shall get to know him. We shall get to know his teachings. If any man, I don't care what state the man is in, I don't care what he has done. David, he might have been an adulterer, and a murderer, and a liar, and a conniver, and a robber of affections that did not belong to him. But as soon as he turns, as soon as he yields, as soon as he accepts, he need not die. If any man wills to do his will, he can't do it, but he's willing to do it. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He shall know the teaching. He shall know the doctrine, whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, the willing is consciously, deliberately choosing to do what God wills. This is my part. Then I shall know. He will give me a knowledge of his teachings. These teachings will become clear if I'm willing to do his will. Now, not only does this have a very important part in Christian development, this verse is also vital in Bible study. We will never understand the Bible until we are willing to follow those directives that the Holy Spirit has already made us aware of. He teaches us, he guides us into all truth, he brings points of duty before us. If we know to do good, and then refuse to do it, then our conduct is sinful. Then our prayers, even, will be an abomination. But if we are willing to take each step as the Lord reveals it to us, the impression comes to us, go to so-and-so and tell them you're sorry for what you've done. And if we refuse to do that, we shut the windows of heaven and the light doesn't shine in. But the moment we do that, we open ourselves to further illumination. So if any man is willing to do God's will as it is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, who is going to guide us and teach us and lead us into all truth, the path of such a one will be as a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. Now in these days, the question is often asked, how can I be sure this is God's will? How can I be sure that that's something I ought to do? Well, let's clear the decks for action. Let's review our lives and make certain that there is no known duty that we are not carrying out by the grace of God, that we are not willing to do to the best of our ability. And he that wills to do his will, he shall know. And the shining light will shine more and more until a perfect day. Now, if we yield to him, then we must confess our sins. But there were some who did not confess. Among the chief rulers, many believed, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Now, the word confess here means to practice. A confessor was a practicer, one who carried out his verbal protestations. Now, here are chief rulers. Many had a theoretical belief, an intellectual belief. As they weighed the evidence of Christ's life and conduct, as they saw the force of prophecy and weighed up the thrust of his works and observed carefully his disposition and character, they were convinced Jesus is the Messiah. He's no ordinary person. But notwithstanding, because of social pressures, they weren't willing to be put out of the synagogue. They did not believe. Now, there are many kinds of beliefs. The devils believe and tremble. They have an intellectual belief, but they're not willing to do his will. The Pharisees had a theoretical belief. They knew from theory. The disciples had a heart belief. They loved God. They weren't worried about the praise of men, and so they committed their souls to the Lord. Part number five, their confession, their outward compliance, actually was a worshipping of God. In contrast to the many rulers, was the story of the man born blind, beggar, uneducated, unsophisticated, ignorant in many ways, found by Jesus Christ, seen by Jesus Christ to have saving grace and faith, and healed of his blindness. Later Jesus met him and asked him if he believed on the Son of God. His question was, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" He had an open mind. And then Jesus said, "I am the one." And he says, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. The word worship means worthship, ascribing worthwhileness or worthiness to any object. And the blind man, now sighted, realized that in Jesus Christ there was a being utterly worthy of his life's devotion. Now, the Pharisees were afraid to be put out of the synagogue. This poor, sighted, one-time blind man didn't care. They put him out. They put his father and mother out of the synagogue. They were ready to worship God. The opinions and judgments of men, the pressure of our peers, the pressure of the religious group to which we belong, calling us apostate, heretic, in God's sight, in the sight of a true believer, is of little consequence. The most important thing is yielding to Jesus Christ to the extent of worshipping him and accepting his program. Now, when we yield ourselves to God, there are certain attitudes that we must take up and must exhibit. We turn away from servitude to sin to serving God. We move from death into life. We move from ignorance into a knowledge of his will. We move from selfishness to a confession of Christ's program, an outward testimony to the fact that we now have an inner life. And all this leads us to a worship, adoration, a submission to him. Part number six, many believed in him. As Jesus worked, as John preached, as the disciples witnessed, the focus and attention of mankind was attracted to Jesus. And many resorted to Jesus, knowing that John did no miracles, but all the things that John spake prophetically, exegetically, were true of Jesus. Now, while John didn't have any miracles to back him up and to endorse what he was saying, he had the force of prophetic truth behind him. And as a result of this, many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we yield to Christ as his servants, this yielding and submission thrusts us into a relationship of worship. And when we worship Him, our influence then induces others to worship Him too. Let us pray as we study this lesson that we will remain yielded to Him each moment of our lives.